Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to an expert talk from November 2018. Miss Anna Rodewald, partner, Green Room Voice, presents Colorful Textiles, Blue Water.
Thank you very much for coming back for the next expert talk. My name is Anna Rodewald, and I have the pleasure to moderate this panel discussion on the question or on the topic of colorful textiles and blue water. Today we have three very interesting experts here on the podium. One, some of you already met before the last 45 minutes, is Christina in the middle from Sveria. She needs a deep breath in the middle of the two speeches, so hopefully it is not too exhausting for her today. On the left, we have Detlef Fischer. He is the CEO of a textile chemistry company in Switzerland, Textil Color. And on the right, we have Mats Andersen from EDI. And all of them will say a bit about what their background is and where they're coming from. The topic of colorful textiles and blue water came up, of course, as a topic of these performance days is water. And textiles are still mainly dyed with water. So we need a lot of water in the textile industry in general. The question for today is, how can we see advantages? How can we see solutions on that question for the textile industry? Probably we can start with Christina, ladies first. Can you say just one or two sentences why this topic is so interesting for you, from a research point of view, and why you are in this topic in general?
Well, yes, I think the question around textiles are interesting because it's quite a complex question. So therefore, for a researcher's mind, it's also a little bit challenging. There are different things that are challenging, I think, with textiles. It's a very important kind of product because everyone uses it, and it's also close to your skin and everything. So therefore, consumers are really interested in this product. On the other hand, it's also being produced fairly complicated production steps and also complex supply chains. Networks, I would say, more or less, rather than chains. So that's also interesting, how to transfer information in between all of these actors in this network. So but there are also great opportunities. As I said, there haven't been a lot of changes within the history of textile production up until, you know, now. Of course, with some. It's not always true for all of the productions, but there's great opportunities. And I'm actually trained as a chemist, so I have been working with organic synthesis. So it's a bit off, but it's obvious that, for instance, in the medicine area, producing medical stuff, it's very high tech. And you use a lot of chemistry there. And then I come to a sector which uses a lot of chemistry and it's very low tech. So for me, it's interesting.
So thanks, Christina. And Detlef took over already.
No, I didn't want to take over. At first, I want to have the opportunity to know you a little bit more, because are you doing sustainability? No. Yes? You're sure? You're quite sure? So I'm trying to do sustainability, sorry. Mm-hmm. And we have to take care about the poor chemistry in textiles. So I'm a little bit to talk about me. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do sustainability in chemicals. I did it in textiles as well. So I was starting with BlueSign about 2006, and I developed BlueSign for about 5 or 6 years. And to gain more a step into the sustainable business. Yeah. And now I'm doing this in my own chemical company, so and I'm happy to invite you to see our process and how safe we are in the process. Yeah. And our goal is to feed you a little bit about the safe chemicals, not only the poor chemicals, but I need your help. Without your help, it doesn't work. So, and that's the reason why you have to be concentrated on us, how we can do this and how we can manage this further on. Thank you.
Thank you, Detlef. I have the feeling that it's all about connection. So this is not only about people standing here and sitting there. It's more like giving you the chance also to see a bit the opportunities these people can help you with or the kind of questions you can ask. So we have challenging questions in the industry which we need to solve together. The third expert for today is Mats, also long history in textile industry.
Yeah, my history in textile industry, you can measure on the color of my hair. As I said, 40 years in the textile industry, mainly in the supply chain management. So directly and indirectly, I've been buying millions of meters of fabrics that have gone through a wet process, a piece-dye process. So in terms of pollution, I'm probably one of those guys that you should blame for dirty water around the world. But before we start up here, I would like to know how many of you sitting here do feel that you are 30 years or younger? So it's not an issue about what's in your birth certificate, but what your mindset-wise. So you that feel that you're 30 and younger, stand up. Let me see. How many people? That's good. Yeah, we have fairly number of 30 years and younger in the audience here. And this is, and you are the future. Because you're the guys that are going to make the next step and make the game change to the better for the world. Because we that are 30 years and older, we can go fishing now because we have done our duties. So,
thank you, Mats. Coming to the topic of water, we heard a lot the last hour from Christina about the use of chemicals and the chemicals in the water. And Detlef is mainly working with some chemical products in the textile industry. Chemicals are not only bad. we always need some kind of chemicals. How can chemicals help us or help the industry to save water? Because chemical is not like chemical.
My thinking is about the textile industry is the way how you use this. And we, for especially, we developed in the last 2 years about 12 new chemicals which are helping to increase decrease the amount of water. By the way, we have a polyester dyeing process developed which could reduce about 30% of the energy, 30% of water, and more than 50% of the second quality which you could achieve. And you mentioned this in your speech before, because re-dyeing is as well a big issue in the textile industry. But the issue is our product is a little bit more expensive. But finally, at the end of the process, if you can calculate the process, then it's cheaper, the whole process. And this is my issue. And you need to help us because the customers, my customers, and you are the customer of the customer, they didn't want to calculate the process. And if you do not calculate the process, you have no clue what you have to use. Though you are using mainly cheap products, which are not as effective and not as safe for the water and for the energy.
So you talked about polyester processes and chemicals. What about other materials like cotton or whatever? Yeah. Even in performance.
So thank you for this is really nice because we developed the magic dyes and magic reactive dyes, and these dyes are about a fixing ratio for about 90 to 95%, completely different to other dyes. They have a less salt consumption in the process, about 30% less salt consumption in the process, and they are faster in fixing and faster in the whole process. And they need to have less water for the soaping in the process, and we have a huge success. We have customers which can calculate, and that's the issue. But our dyes are a little bit more expensive, but at the end of the day, they are cheaper for the whole process. And that's the reason why if we have a request from you, from the buyers, then it would be much easier for us to develop more new products.
Thank you. No, stepping into the polyester material. Mats, you're the expert on spun-dyed polyester yarns. A lot of people heard about spun-dyed polyesters, and what does it mean?
Yes, what does it mean? And I promise to talk a little bit more slowly this time, so it goes through what I'm saying. 1952, DuPont launched polyester to the world market. At the same time as DuPont launched polyester, they also introduced the dope dye process for coloring of polyester yarn. So dope dye, solution dye, spin dye, melt spinning, whatever you call it, is all the same generic industrial process. There's no hocus pocus, there's no rocket science, there's no patents involved in this. It's the same process as you dye polypropylene through the extrusion process, or you're dyeing polyamide 6 or nylon 6-6 in the same way. So it's a dope dye process that has been around for 50, 60 years.
And how can this technology save water? We saw at Christina's presentation before that there are other textile steps which need water besides the dyeing, so making it colorful.
Yeah, the fact that you're coloring the yarn through the extrusion process, you put the colorants through a master batch together with the raw white chips or liquid polymer, and you extrude the yarn. So that's basically a totally waterless process. So up to the yarn manufacturing process, there's no water used at all. So there we have a major saving. When it comes to fabric manufacturing, we're talking about a knitting process or a weaving process. Of course, we can exclude the entire wet process when it comes to the dye part of it. You have a scoring process that you always need to do, because you have knitting oil, you have impurity that comes with the manufacturing process, regardless if you're doing a knit or you're doing a weave. And that has to be washed out, so to say, to be able to do a finishing of the fabric itself. So I would say that scoring is a necessity, and there you need water. And you're doing a rinsing process afterwards as a post-treatment, which also requires water. But the amount of water is far less compared to traditional piece dye. You talked about re-dyeing process, re-dyeing percentage before. You said something about cost, and you touched this issue about pay more, earn more. Was that an answer on the question?
I think so, if I look into the audience. We will have some time afterwards for your questions. So I prepared a few, but of course there is enough time for you to take the advantage to ask these experts here. We also heard a lot during this fair and also the last fairs about the recyclability, because if we use water, the question is, what do we do it? What do we do with it? And we try to recycle water, and we try to recycle materials. What about chemicals? What are they recyclable? What do we do with them, or what is done with them after the textile process?
Yeah, that's really. She was asking me the same question about 4 days ago by mail, and I thought, my dear, what she's asking me. Should I be honest or not? Yes, I should be honest. So finally, it's a good question. So we are able to do it, and that's a good word, but not with all chemicals which are used currently. But you have to determine what kind of chemicals you are using. A lot of chemicals, they have a degradation for about, it's a must of degradation for about 28 days. So in the elimination zone, you can eliminate it, and then we can cut it together in a biological step or in a different funeral step. That we can reuse this, but this is it. What we are doing currently, we are working together with Bluesign Technology, so we are proud to be a Bluesign partner, but as well with GOTS, they have a request for about a chemical degradation of about all products need to have more than less than 28 days in chemical degradation, or we are working together with Cradle to Cradle, which checks the whole entire process from cradle to the cradle, and all chemicals which are used in this case have to fulfill your request on chemical degradation.
Cradle and chemicals, is that something which we see often, or?
No, it's we are currently the only one which is doing this, and I think we have to go in our philosophy. We have to be a step ahead on the competition. We have to go deeper into the research of chemicals, deeper in the development of products which could be degradable, and the elimination should be really easier than others. And that's our case, to develop more products which are sustainable. That's the reason why we are one step ahead.
Thank you, Detlef. Talking about recycled materials, if we have a recycled polyester, can that be also used for a spun dyeing process?
Yes, we use virgin polyester. We can use post-consumer recycled material, as well as pre-consumer recycled material. Industrial waste is a big issue. From the cutting table, you have a cutting loss of 3 to 20%, depending on what kind of product you're making. That can go back into a recycling process also. And you have two ways of doing recycling of polyester material. You can do a mechanical recycling, mechanical destruction of material, and you can do a chemical destruction of material. So you can return it back in different shapes into the process.
So on the polyester, it could be part of a circular economy system?
No doubt. Mm-hmm. And there we have a challenge within the textile industry, is to be much better in talking and thinking in a closed loop process. The life after use for garments, there we need to be much better in finding ways to return them back into the system, because you can return used textile today and return it back into a polymer and spin new yarn out of it. But we have a homework to do there.
So using the knowledge we have in the industry to recycle PET bottles into fibers to broaden the amount of textiles which are ending in textiles again. What about other fibers? Polyamide, for example. We see a lot of polyamide products here in performance wear. Is that also possible to spun dye?
Yes, it is. And there are companies that can provide that. The company I represent, we are focused on polyester right now. But you can basically do, as long as you have a liquid polymer, you can always put colorant into that during the yarn extrusion process in different ways.
Christina, you talked a lot about textiles, but also you're working a lot with other industries within your research work. What can the textile industry learn from other industries in terms of water saving and in terms of sustainability in general, probably? Because it's so interesting to have a look what is already invented, what we don't have to invent new.
I think that a couple of learnings, I think, could be done, from both sides, I would say. So there are a lot of things that we are doing really good in textile industry, because they are, many of you here, I guess, are under pressure of both consumers and media and authorities. At least in Sweden, this is the case, that the textile industry is really under the being scrutinized. Whereas other industries are very good when it comes to their own plant. So if you have own in-house production, usually they are really good at the in-house production. But when it comes to, for instance, parts that they are, getting from suppliers, I don't see that they are managing their suppliers as good as textile industry do, because this is a learning the textile industry had to do when they outsourced the production. But if it comes to the learnings that from the other sectors to the textile industry, is I think this kind of mapping activities in many, at least for instance in the manufacturing companies, it's a lot of lean activities, lean production, and there's sort of keep order of stuff, keeping mapping stuff, knowing what you do and how you do it. And that creates a good basis for how to improve things. So I think that thing. And another learning might be also that I see from an environmental point of view that the environmental impact might be fairly similar for different types of materials. But for instance, both plastics and textiles are considered sort of low value materials. Here comes in the cost factor. I do see that there is a urgency to increase the understanding of the value and increase perhaps we as consumers should pay a little bit more for, because if you have a value, if we consider the textile a proper value, we have the opportunity to include, for instance, I'm very well, I mean, because not all textile companies seems to can afford or have the knowledge about blue sign, for instance, or better chemistry. And that's sort of the third part, I think, is that how many here are chemical experts? And still it's an industry, you know, so you are sort of well off, but yeah, good. Hey, but often there is a lot of chemistry going on and not many chemical experts, so it's difficult to handle chemistry and understand chemistry. It's at least my understanding from in general, and then you have good examples, of course, but you have a lot of not so good examples, so we need help. And in other industries, perhaps they are more putting this kind of experts. But it's... that was a long answer. I'll stop now.
I guess we can learn all from each other. So other industries, we can learn from other industries, from other sectors, as we have a shared challenge in the world. Where else can we learn? A question to whoever would like to answer. Where can we learn from nature, for example, in the industry? Is there anything what we can learn in terms of water saving? How is the natural systems dealing with water? Is there anything we can learn from an industry point of view?
Yes, for sure. I think one goal is we are using natural thickeners. So that's an easy process in printing, but as well in dyeing. If you need a low felting product, then we are using natural alginates which are there available in the nature. That's not a problem. We are using starch. We are using derivatives of starch and we are synthesizing starch in different manners. So that's an easy process. But as well in the dyestuff industry, you have to check how the butterflies are creating their colors. And this is one of the most secrets which we have in the world, because they are creating this with different values together with the lights. And we have to learn out from the nature how to do this in a better manner. And how to do it sustainable. But I like to come back to another question, because we have to check with your demand what you are doing, how often you are washing your products, and that's one of the key issues. So we are developing products for workwear, and the must is to have it 100 times washable, and what we are doing with our shirts or with our product, which we are buying for let's say €2 or €4, we use it 3 times and then we throw it away. I think the first step is you have to start right on from your side. What you are buying or what you are thinking about how to buy it.
I hope that we don't have that many people here who buy T-shirts for €2 within the textile industry, but that is that's a wish from my side. Mats, we had a chat yesterday, and when I went home after that, I thought, hey, this is a guy, he really wants to work with game changers. I have this this word in my head. He said, you try to work with all these people who try to save, to find good solutions on this topic. What are the advantages for people working with you, with this kind of technology, with your services?
Yeah, I would like to answer that question by actually going back to the previous question that you had. How can we learn from the environment? How can we learn from the nature? And this is what we have to do, because that's a must, that's a fact. We need to look around ourselves and say, okay, how do we behave, how do we act in our life as privates, as well as in our professional life, to do a minimal negative impact on the environment? And we can learn from the nature how to act in a resource-efficient way. And that's best learning, I think. And that's a learning we need to learn that learning, no doubt. The other topic, another question you raised here, if you look at the UN 17 sustainable goals that was taken at the Paris Accord 2015, yes. The last one says, which is the most important one of those 17 goals. Is there someone here that can give me the number 17? It's a leading question, because that's what Anna talked about. You need to find partnership. You need to find guys, girls, people, companies, suppliers, upstreams, as well as clients, downstream, your own supply chain, that singing from the same page of the songbook, that has a drive, that want to make a change. Then you can go together and make that change and make it happen. And it doesn't matter whether it's implementing a smarter piece-type process into your business model, or switching over to using dope-dyed yarn for your textile manufacturing or for your garments, or thinking smart when it comes to design of your products so you can recycle them after life after use. So finding the right partners, worked with that. That's number 17 on that list.
Thanks a lot. So we have a lot of potential partners here who can work together. This are the challenge, the advantages. What would be the challenges for people, for brands, for product managers, for designers working with new technologies, doing something different? What makes it difficult for them? Because what hurdles do you see on a day-to-day basis? Because there's a lot of technology which is already here.
One of the challenges is that if you want to make a different result, then you need to think different. You need to look at your own internal R&D process. How can we work in a smarter way with our product design, in our material sourcing? How do we select our material partners? Do they run according to the same code of ethics as we do? So there is a number of questions that we need to challenge internally in our companies, in our daily life. That's one part of it. The other issue here that Detlef touched is actually the fact that new technology costs more, and responsibility comes to a cost. There's no free meal there. And we need to think, as you said, also look at the whole calculation, look at the whole process. Don't look at just only your part, but take into consideration everything downstream, the process, and then you can actually pay more and you can earn more. I can prove it for you if you give me 10 minutes, not here, but afterwards. That's a calculation that works.
That sounds to me a bit more like it's an investigation. It's an investment. So you have to invest into this kind of brands, designers, people, whoever takes a decision, have the chance to invest into these new technologies, into the solutions, because that is the red thread, the price, which makes it yes or no.
I have only a small request, because I'm here now since, let's say, 2007. And 2007 at the performance days, it was really a very small affair. And 2007, I was working as an innovator with BlueSign, we were two people, and in 2007 we had only one customer here, at the whole fair. And today we have about, let's say, 200 BlueSign partner here. I'm not working for BlueSign anymore, but I'm proud about this. And if it would be 2028, in 10 years and all of you would use nice energy, nice products, nice chemicals, 50% of polyester dyeing would be with dope dyeing, and the other would be with my process, I would be really nice with you. And I think everybody has to do one step more. And you have to think about, you are the buyers, you have to think what you are buying, and you have to ask your producers what they are doing. And as well, you have to visit your producers. Because I know quite a lot of producers worldwide, and a lot of them are really excellent, and a lot of them are not so nice. But you have to think about what you are paying, and you have to know where you are buying. That's really important.
Can I also add about the partnership thing? I think it's really a crucial thing, as you said, that and the partnership could also be, it could be also partnership along the value chain. I know that many companies are now turning towards their customer to understand better what they need, what they want, and also partnership with people like me or institutes or researchers, to try to create a common understanding of what can we do, or what's the challenges. And I think here is the knowledge that I was trying to emphasize in the speech is crucial, because as you said, there are many companies that are top notch companies, they are fully control. And others are definitely have the drive and the willingness, but not really have the right tools and right knowledge to drive forward. So we need to get them the right understanding and also the common view. As I said, we had quite a good success with just showing this little picture of movie. I don't know who saw it here, but we just wanted to say why do we nag about NPO when we come and say that should switch to better chemistry. Need to have the learning before we can actually get someone to wanting to do something. So creating that common understanding, I think, is also important, because otherwise we just come and say, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to change this, this is not good. It's not really good for the partnership, I guess. It's not... So, common knowledge, common language also. We started this, we have a project concerning PFAS chemistry, actually used in different sectors. So this is a cross-sectorial project. So we talk about ski wax and textiles and film forming products and firefighting foams. And you can understand the mismatch about, how to communicate with each other, and still there is a lot of learnings to do. But we need to have like a word, a document with what do we mean by this word? We mean it like this. It's interesting, but it's challenging.
So it seems that we need some red or probably green threads, which we can go along with in our industry, where we have common challenges, where we have where we can use common learnings and technologies to collaborate along this red, green, whatever chains and threads, and also use this in the communication with other industries. And one other red thread, which is a challenge for all of us in the industry, is a price. And the price always is related to the view on the timing, because price and time belongs together. It's just a question: what kind of investment do we have to do today, and how long will it last? So I spoke with both of you before, and after that I thought, hey, if we look at it from a long-term view, and long-term does not mean 20, 100 years, whatever, seven generations, as we probably should. But if we look at longer than a quarter of a year, then most of this pay off. Is that true?
Yes, for sure. But I mentioned this many times before, so thank you for that. But it depends on you. It's not my goal. So we are proud to produce all our chemicals, specialty chemicals in Switzerland. And it does pay off. And Switzerland is not an easy country, and it's really not a cheap country. But we are faster. We are cheaper in the process where we are producing, and as well we can calculate the process and we know the textiles. And with your help, it's up to you. You can ask me anytime. We can help you to develop new process with your suppliers. That's really easy. With your suppliers, we will be there and we will feed you with our know-how and feed you with our products for sure. But at the end of the day, you have a benefit of it.
You want to say something?
Yeah, I would like to add on there and say that our days of buying imperialism is over because we've been running around the world buying as cheap as possible to be able to sell as expensive as possible. I'm a part of that. 40 years in the supply chain, I've been squeezing prices around the world. And actually, this is now a game change here because there are no cheap solutions left. There are only smart solutions left, and we need to think smart. One of them is to, as I say, work with partnerships, not only supplier upstream and clients downstream, but also other stakeholders like Sverige Rice, for example, where you can get knowledge. And we have had the opportunity now to work together with Sverige in Sweden, not Christina, but your colleague. And we have done LCA life cycle assessments for 12 fabric qualities within our together with our fabric partners, and we produced environmental product declarations for those EPDs to have facts and figures on energy saving, chemical saving, water saving, and the CO2 impact we have on the products that we put to the market. So we at least know what we do, and we can also use that to do a improvement process together with you as clients, together with the supply chain upstreams, and using knowledge, expertise around us.
Thank you for that. So it seems that there are a lot of solutions already there, and many contacts you as an audience can step into. If you have one wish from designers, product managers within companies, what they could start today to for a planet where we have colorful textiles and blue water? One word or two words?
I have some many wishes, but think about where you are buying, that's all. Think about where you're buying and ask some difficult questions, that's easy. Ask difficult questions, how is the pre-treatment is done, what kind of knitting oils are on top on the fabrics, what you are doing with your wastewater treatment, or ask some experts about this. And and you have to think about what you are buying, that's all.
Yeah, I would also try to send the message that everything that you put on the design matters in terms of energy consumption, water consumption, chemical consumption. So whenever you buy something with a print on, you bought chemicals. Whenever you bought, you know, coating, you bought. So I'm not saying that you should not buy, but it's there you have the consumption in all of the functions in the garment. There you put the environmental impact, make it last long. Also, it's good for the environment.
Oh, very, very important topic. Yeah. On LCAs, the longevity of a product.
A short word for me is learn more, earn more. Be a difficult client, difficult customer. Ask questions. And if you don't understand the answer, ask the question again. Because it's us, and it's our responsibility as a supplier downstream the chain to explain to you how our process looks like, and request transparency so you know what you're buying. At least you know what's happening in your products. That's all what it is. Learn more, earn more.
Thank you. I'm looking into the audience. I see a lot of other experts sitting here. What kind of questions do you have to our podium today?
Hi, thank you for the interesting discussion. I was wondering, how ready is the textile industry right now for biodegradable textile or membranes or such solution?
Yeah, it's ready. Though I know some fabrics about biodegradable. That's not an issue. You can buy it, and that should be not a problem as well. From the chemical, from my side, they are inside. It's not a problem. That's possible.
From the processing.
The membrane is a little bit a problem until now. Everybody knows this, but if you request it more and more, we will have it.
Can I just comment that? I it's available. I think it's important that you think about the function of the product that you want to make. What is it aimed to do and for how long? Because I don't see that there is no room for synthetic materials that are not... Well, there is this thing that you could have a synthetic material that is degradable and you can have a bio-based material that is non-degradable. So you have to think about that thing before you... But if you want to have a long-lasting something, then perhaps a biodegradable material is fine, but if it's not, perhaps you should move to a synthetic one, and a synthetic one can be looped back, as discussed here also many times. So it's, I think we need to think about the function. What do we want it to do, and biodegradable in what sense and for what purpose? Likewise, on the non-degradable, for what reason and how to reuse it or recycle it. So, yeah, for me as a sustainable expert, it's not black and white. What is best option? It's not obvious always biodegradable or not biodegradable, because it depends. It's our favorite answer.
Any other question from your end?
Thank you very much for giving me the chance to do a question to you. I work last 10 years, more than 10 years in textile industry. I'm from Bangladesh, but I work in Sweden. And now in Bangladesh, there are some factories. They are maintaining like the sustainability in a very big picture. But water is a problem there, of course. For our product, like I'm from Alaiko, and Alaiko is working for the performance clothing and more synthetic clothing, but water is again a big picture for the fabrics and everything. So if we make the garments in Far East Asia, how we need to focus on the sustainability if it's a question about the water, or how as a buyer or as a purchaser, how we can advise the supplier or producer that we are more concerned about the water focusing or sustainability. Thank you.
We have excellent customers in Bangladesh, and I know that they fulfill the same requirements which you have to fulfill in Germany or in Switzerland. There's no doubt about this. But you have to think about to create your question and answer to your suppliers, what they are doing, or to ask Bluesign or Cradle to Cradle or GOTS to do a screening of your production sites. That's easier. Ask the expert or ask her to do the screening on the production sites. Then you could be sure that your product and your company where you're buying is not polluting in different manner the environmental. But there's no doubt about you. So we have excellent customers in Bangladesh without any issue how they are trying to reduce their amount of chemicals, of water and of energy. There's no problem at all.
Probably was, yes, it was working. I agree that some kind of, if you really want to make sure that, first is to create the knowledge from your side to know how that particular producer is. Go there and have a mapping or a screening activity, a discussion with them. How do they see their water consumption? What's the possibilities to, do just some water management activities, but also how is the investment possibilities for initiatives like these guys represent here. But I think that first to know state of the art of the mills in the factories, I would say.
Add in to this topic, being in Bangladesh, standing on the bridge over the Black River in Dhaka, then you realize that there is a challenge in the country. Wastewater treatment is a challenge in the whole country of Bangladesh. So that's an area where it needs to be worked on. But of course, for you as in the performance textiles world, doing active sportswear, etc., switch over to dope dye yarn for part of your production, where you see that it's feasible, possible to use it, then you get automatically a water saving of between 50 and 70% compared to a traditional piece dye process. So there you have a direct positive impact, not only for your company, but also for your country. Because clean water is a very rare product or resource in your country. So that's my, my message, my advice to you.
Thanks, Mats. So if we say we, changing to a new process, it's always change is always something we humans don't want to have change. It's something we often don't like to be touched with. But if we want to change something or if we want to have a different result, we need to change something. And we have another expert sitting here in the audience who is working with dope-dyed materials. And I would ask him what needs to be done from a brand point of view. If a brand would like to step into this new technology or into this probably longer available technology, but if you want step newly into this kind of technology in coloring.
Thank you, Anna. I'm Jonas from Wear Spin Dye, and I think it ties to your question before, what do we want from the designers to do differently? And you talked very rightly about, yes, think where you buy from, etc. I think the key word is change, willingness to change, and that doesn't go only for the designers, but I think for the on the brand level, it's important that the entire organization stands behind making it happen. There are always strong advocates for in the organization for making change happen, and then they run into obstacles because others who are conservative, like designers, want to decide on their colors very late, or the buyers, they want to buy as little as possible. Then they, it's not working efficiently in their own organization. So I think it's important that it starts from the top, that the management says that this is what we're going to do. Then we can create a paradigm shift in the industry together. But it doesn't come from individuals, but everybody behind it.
Thank you, Jonas. So is there any last chance for a question? Otherwise, if there is nothing now, there is enough opportunity for the rest of the day or the rest of your life to go in contact with the expert here, also with other brands who are showcasing here on Solutions. We hope that we will see you soon here in half a year for the next topic. And thanks for your time and for listening.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other expert talks, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright November 2018 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.